We have all heard that we need to showcase our authentic selves for our businesses, but what does that actually mean? What does that look like in our business? This week's podcast episode features a recent portion of a coffee chat hosted by Kiwi Shalafel held inside of our Private Labs program. Labs is our membership for product-based business owners where we talk about how to work smarter, not harder within our businesses, and that includes how we show up as a leader. In this coffee chat, Kiwi touches on a variety of topics, such as the importance of staying true to your brand's identity, how to use personal interest to inject authenticity into your business, and more. This week's podcast episode is brought to you by Kodai Collective, who is also a sponsor of our PaperCamp program. Kodai Collective is a leading omnichannel marketing company that supports B2C and B2B brands and publications. They offer a wide range of print, procurement, and creative production solutions, including digital and offset printing, sourcing, and logistics. They are focused on helping you achieve an integrated marketing mix to reach your audience in meaningful ways. You can learn more about Kodai's services by going to their website at kodai-collective.com. Again, that's kodai-collective.com. We'll put that in the show notes too. All of our PaperCamp and lab students get access to a private PTP portal with Kodai, where they get discounted rates on print services and a dedicated sales rep to help us with all of our project management. They provide support throughout the process of getting your project off the ground. So if you are looking for a new print partner, our community has had great experiences working with Kodai Collective. And if you missed our latest round of PaperCamp, head to prooftoproduct.com/PaperCamp to get on the waitlist for our next round.
I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started.
Let's talk about branding and authenticity, which I feel like the word authenticity is used as a buzzword all the time. So maybe you saw this and weren't that excited. But I think there's a lot of stuff I've learned, and we're going to be going through. Why am I talking? I'm going to start my presentation. Okay, today we're talking about branding and authenticity with me, Kiwi. Hi, Devin. Hi, everybody. So today we'll talk about the importance of branding. We'll go through some case studies. We'll talk about the ROI of authenticity, some authenticity strategies, some more case studies, and then we'll talk about synergizing your branding, and then we'll have our analysis and conclusion, and then there'll be some time at the end for a Q&A. All right. Okay. That was my red herring. That was my catfish, because that just then, even just based on my appearance, your brain was probably like, what? And if you've heard me talk before or just general, you'd be like, the importance of branding, sure, right? Still very important. But like, what the hell is the ROI of authenticity? It's nothing. It means nothing. That's fake. It's all buzzwords. So I wanted to do this and I should have practiced it better. So I had a little bit of a better gotcha moment to have a illustration of why branding is really so important, because none of this looks like me. Authenticity strategies, ew, that's gross. This doesn't sound like me. This doesn't look like me. And your brain was probably working really, really hard to be like, huh, okay, fine. And if you got really excited about that first page, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry, but we're not talking about, yeah, synergizing, right? Nobody just throws synergizing. I don't think anybody in labs has ever said synergize for anything ever, because that's a major WTF, right? So we're still going to have a Q&A where I'll answer questions, but I really wanted to do, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's why I have my slides. Okay, so this is more like me, right? This is what I'm No, I literally did get it from Creative Market. I literally got this presentation, or maybe it was Canva, and I was just looking for like something that didn't look at all like me, because I really wanted to illustrate how important it is that even if you can't put your finger on something, even if you can't exactly be like, what is going on here? Something in your head is like, wait, that's not quite right. And we see this a lot. I'm going to get off. I always get off the plot, but like we see this with greenwashing and rainbow washing and June and all these things where you're like, wait a second. And we can tell, like, as consumers, we're pretty smart. We can be like, something's not quite right here. So I want to talk about how we can think about how this happens in our business. And an example I see a lot. I hear about a lot, right? Yeah, exactly. April Fools. And so this was a big way. This was a big gotcha. This was a big catfish. But one way that I see this a lot, and it's a conversation that we talk about and have a lot, is in pitch emails and communication to retailers. Because a lot of times pitch emails will, for whatever reason, and I'm just as guilty of this as everybody else, will make it sound really formal. And like, you know, we want to make sure like people, I'm going to try not to curse, but like, you know, we want everyone to think like we really have our crap together, right? So sometimes that means that in our pitch emails or our communications, it sounds like a little bit formal, and that's not a bad thing, especially if you're, yeah, professional voice. Yeah, exactly. Like you pick up the phone and you're like, oh, that's your phone voice. We've all seen that with our partners or our friends or our parents or whatever. And sometimes I think we let that creep in more than we'd like, just because that's the only way we know how to be professional. And so I just wanted to talk about being authentic to your brand doesn't mean you're not professional. Those two are not mutually exclusive. And so there's ways to make your pitch emails and your product descriptions and any other communication you have feel like you, and ways to bring more of you into your brand. And so that's really the meat and bones of what we're talking about today, is like how to make sure your brand feels like you, because then it's easier. Truly, it's easier to like write your emails. It's easier to social media. Like a lot of these things become easier when we sort of embrace who we are and like how we want to be perceived and do it in an intentional way. Because I'm sure literally everybody on this call, we've done it in a kind of accidental way. Anybody who starts a small business, it's about you and what you want to create, but it's really easy to stray away from that pretty quickly, just because we're trying to either be a business we're not, or we're emulating what works for other people, or we're following checklists or whatever else. So yeah, exactly, Anita. It's hard, especially if you've come from a corporate environment or something, to go and be like, oh, well now, you know, buy my things that probably don't have a super corporate vibe. And how do I talk about that? But I still want to be professional and everything else. So we're still going to talk about why branding is so important. And I feel like having a personal brand was like a buzzword, and it was so frustrating. But branding, not just as the materials that you put out or the products you put out, is so important. So yeah, when we think about Chapel Roan, I'm a little late to the boat, but like I love Chapel Roan. And the thing that I find so fascinating about her, and sort of like this, see what seems like an overnight success, right, is that her branding is incredible. Pink Pony Club, if you see any TikToks or anything, her concert, everybody at her concert, like even more so than Taylor Swift, right? Like Taylor Swift has her Swifties and everyone's got the bracelets and everyone, there's like a vibe, but like Chapel Roan, everyone's in pink and glitter and sequins and there's cowboy hats. And like by doing this, I don't even know if she was actively thinking about this, she's created basically a club, right? So that whenever somebody goes to a concert, even if they're not wearing pink, they immediately feel like they get it, they're part of it, it makes sense. And truly, like that's what humans want to be, is like accepted and in a club, right? Like that's like how humans tick. So basically, if it's easier for you to think about it, and it's easier for me to think about it, I am, with my brand, creating my own club that I want people to be part of, that I wanted people to get and understand pretty quickly. And the way that you do this, there's lots that we'll talk about, a lot of different ways, but the more able you are, the Purple Kiwi Club, or, you know, back in the day, it was the Boner Club, right? Like when I was craft boner, there's a lot of different ways to do this, and you can do it, but it is so valuable to make people feel like they are part of this club that you've created. And that's one way to just get brand loyalty for like ever, basically. Yeah, super graphic, ultra modern business girl or boy or they or whatever. Yes, that's exactly what you want. And here's a reason, another reason why branding is important. So Icebreaker, I'm super into romance novels. Icebreaker is a hockey romance novel, and it has a cartoon cover. Like it's a cartoon of a hockey player and a girl and they're lovey-dovey on the front cover. And so like 12-year-olds are seeing this book on TikTok or whatever and wanting to buy this book or wanting their like middle school libraries to carry it. But this book is very spicy. It is not a book for kids. It is not a book, like they're in college and they are doing a lot of banging. And so like, this is an example when like the branding, the cover does not match the insides. And, you know, it's good in this sense, right? Like it's good in this sense because it's going to be making sales, but overall for the future for that author, that's not exactly the vibe that we want. And it's a whole thing with like romance novels. It's really interesting to me that there's a lot of cartoon covers. So I just wanted to like, if you think about it that way, right? Like if your products are super fun and playful or whatever, or they're like really pretty and elegant and whatever, and then we're putting something else out that doesn't match that, it's that same vibe of like, whoa, the cover was, I was not expecting inside what's outside. And you'll also see this a lot of times with people. Some romance novels do have Fabio on it, but a lot of them are cartoons and it's weird. It's really strange to me, to go to Jessica's point in the chat. But that was funny and it got me distracted. No, which is great. But yeah, so you want to make sure that the thing I think I see most people do this a lot with, especially in business and especially with like, you know, people in labs, is everyone in labs is amazing. I mean, I don't know, probably not every single person, right? But like generally the vibe in labs is great. And it's serious when we need to be serious and it's not when we're not serious. And a lot of times if you are quiet or more reserved, then sometimes it's one of those things where you might not sell yourself or like sell your brand for what it truly is. And it's, I'm a feminist. And it's also like, if you especially were like socialized or brought up as a woman, it's really hard to even embrace this a lot of times and be loud about what you are. And not even that, like for me, it's been a really long, literally 10 years of trying to figure out to make sure, I'm going to go back to this all the time, but to make sure the cover matches the insides. Because for a long time, people with me personally and with my brand, they're like, oh, this is so funny. I had no idea. Or like, oh, I wasn't expecting it. Or with the quality of product, sometimes people are like, oh, I couldn't tell how high quality it was before I really like dove in. And so we can see this. I'm always skipping ahead of myself. This is why I don't usually have slides, is because I just am bouncing all over the place. But we can see this a lot with product businesses like Rifle and Bandeau. Like I know those are two big ones just because their branding, I do feel like, is authentic, not necessarily to a person anymore, like especially in terms of like Bandeau, but it's truly a vibe. And people be like, oh, it's just pretty. And it's like, actually, when you step back and think about it, Rifle is not just pretty. It's all about embracing the beauty of everyday things like flowers. That's why flower is such a thing. And it's a lot about travel and really romanticizing this idea of travel and traveling places. And they really like, even though they've expanded to like everything, I think they're still doing a pretty good job of keeping to that vibe with the products that they're putting out and the marketing that they're doing. And then if you think about like even labs, I think Katie and the team do an amazing job with labs because it is a group for learning and it is a group for resources, but I never, ever, ever in any of their marketing or any of the classes or any of the lab things, it never feels pretentious. It never feels condescending. It never feels like, you know, you have to do things this way or the other way. I want to remind everybody, because we forget about this, that even if these things aren't front of mind intentional, like I doubt Katie and the team are sitting back like, I need to make sure not to be condescending. It's still in their mind. And even like when I'm creating products now, I'm not like, I have to be funny. It's like, which I'll talk about in a little bit. Like I have a compass of what do I want to talk about and why do I want to talk about these things and why do I want to create these products? So being able to figure out some of this like authenticity about ourselves is actually really helpful for that sort of thing. But I do want to say that you don't have to be like, I love words. I'm a words person. I love to come up with ideas. I'm an ideas and a words person. I'm not a drawing person. So that's why I have this like ideation versus artist versus business. We all have different passions in small business. And I think a lot of times we'll get wrapped up. And I know I have many times of, oh, well, I can't just have ideas. I have to, you know, be really excited about drawing. I'm never excited about drawing. This is me personally. I know a lot of people are different about this. I don't really want to draw. So then I was thinking like, well, if I have a funny idea, I have to draw it and then post it on social media, or I have to draw it and then whatever. And I had to get out of that mindset because it was like, it takes something that I enjoy and then layer something that I don't enjoy on top of it, enable for that like idea to come to life, for me to be able to bring authenticity into my branding or social media or whatever. And so it's being able to recognize that you don't have to do, or like you don't have to love all of this to be able to bring authenticity in your branding. Nobody is an expert at all three of these things. That's literally why people have teams, because they do different things. But recognizing the thing that you do love to do will help you figure out easier ways to do it and easier ways to bring it into the business. So if you are someone that like loves the art and is not super good at ideas, maybe that's just focusing on sharing art more. Maybe that's, instead of like writing a whole email with all these words, it's like drawing something that goes into the email and then there's minimal words, like write it. It's leaning into those things that we feel like, ooh, I'm really good, or I really enjoy doing this, and not feeling bad about not being able to do all of it, because nobody can. And I think that the last thing is about point of view. And so when I talk about branding, it's sort of a hard concept and it's so all-encompassing, right? Like when I think about branding, I think about, you know, branding and strategy and hiring someone and copy and whatever. And the thing that I'm sort of talking about more today is not that like super businessy branding. It's really more of your point of view. If you can figure out what your point of view is, it doesn't matter what products you create. It doesn't matter exactly what your emails say. If you can figure out exactly what your point of view is and what you want others to recognize your point of view is, you'll be able to not only create stronger products, you'll be able to write better emails that are stronger and feel easier. And like everything will just start to feel, I'm biased, but I think everything starts to feel easier once you figure out your point of view, which is kind of like your why. But a lot of times I think we get wrapped up in this why, and then we forget that the why goes hand in hand with the point of view, and they don't always have to be the same. For example, if you're a business that likes to raise money for a specific cause, that is your why, but it is not your point of view. Your whole business does not have to revolve around specifically this cause or whatever. It's why that cause is important to you, which is slightly different. And it's also why I kind of have trouble talking about this, because it's a lot of ooey gooey sort of ideas, big picture, whatever. It's not super tangible things, but they are things that really make a huge difference. And to go along with that, I want to remind all of us that in a world of AI, in a world of being able to get art and text and anything on demand right away, the most important resource for your business is you. And not just because you're doing the day-to-day, you're doing shipping, you're doing emails, you're doing whatever. It's because the reason your business exists at all is because of you and your ideas and your brain and your creativity. So the more you can lean into that, whether or not you have a team, whether or not you're just one person, but the more that you can recognize and appreciate that, the stronger your business becomes. Because I think it's so easy for a lot of us to think that anybody can have a business, right? Like, oh, anybody could do this. Like, we'll play down the things that are our strengths that we're really good at. Again, skipping ahead, but it's like to the make it feel easy, like the things that not everybody can do that you feel good at, and thinking less about what other people are good at or what you like to be good at, because those are very different, and figuring out what you're actually good at, what you actually enjoy, the things that you like best. And I want to remind people that it does not have to be social media. Sometimes for some people, it's social media. It could be doing social media differently than you see everybody else doing social media, but just figuring out whether it's what's in your products themselves or the messaging of your products, whether it's the copy, whether it's your email list, like however you're able to do this and feel good about it and feel excited about it is important and valuable. And it does not have to be what anybody else is doing. And I'm glad that, Rebecca and Emily, I'm glad that it's helpful. It took me a really long time and a lot of therapy to get to this point. But once I really leaned into it, I really recognized that I did not have to be doing things the way that other people are doing them. And that's actually my strength and my superpower and my strong point. It is not a weakness, because once I recognize those things, I can figure out other ways to get the things done that I cannot look at a spreadsheet. I can't handle it. I don't want to. I never, ever, ever want to be the person who's in charge of spreadsheets or anything like that. It's a waste of my time. It's a complete waste of my time. I'll figure out other people to do that for me or other ways to use not spreadsheets. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not. But some people, they love a spreadsheet. Okay, so because these are a lot of like ooey gooey big ideas, I want to talk specifically about my business, and I didn't time myself, so I'm going to start going like a little bit fast, not super fast, but just to make sure we don't run out of time and there's time for Q&A. But I just wanted to talk about authenticity in my business and how this journey's looked for me and how it's changed over 10 years. So when I started, it was literally all about people, making people laugh. That's like literally all that I knew that I wanted to do. So for me, that meant throwing a lot of curse words on everything, because that's how I knew how to make people laugh. I changed mediums a lot. I was doing vinyl, which is like insane. I can't even talk about it, like on the Silhouette back in the day. And a lot of people in my early days were like saying my cards kind of had an Emily McDowell vibe, which is not a bad thing. We all start sort of imitating or emulating certain people or styles. But yeah, when I started, I didn't know what I wanted my cards to be, what I wanted them to look like. And then I started doing more like positive cards or like things like this caring is cool. I mean, it is a sticker and a cup and a whatever. And it wasn't that it didn't sell well. It didn't sell well. Let's be honest. It didn't sell well. It didn't really, especially when I was back then branded as Craft Boner, it didn't really fit. And it wasn't like, it was kind of, I think, confusing for people. And I was just latching onto like anything. Oh yeah, well, I kind of feel like doing this now and curse words and whatever. And I just started reaching more, right? And I will say that this is a journey that we all go through, right? We all start one way and then we kind of change things. And then it's like, we're always kind of shifting what our products are, what our tone is, what the vibe is of our business. And then I started to think about what actually was resonating with people with my cards and my stickers. And I realized it wasn't the curse words and it wasn't the like kindness, positive vibes message. It was about how you would talk to a friend. So this was one of the cards that I was like, oh yeah, this is a card that I made for a friend when she was going through a breakup. And it was something that I realized it wasn't just about laughter. It was about feeling seen by other people and talking about the things that we're not supposed to talk about, like sex and anxiety and worries and fears and brains and all these things that we're not supposed to say out loud. And this is when I really discontinued using like pop culture phrases and references and started really leaning into my own voice because I realized that was where my strength was. And that was something that I really enjoyed and that I didn't necessarily need a lot of these pop culture and because I was terrified of being sued, let's be honest. But I also realized I didn't really need a lot of these like pop culture references. And also because I was burned a few times, I made some Harry Potter adjacent things and then, you know, all the news came out and I didn't feel good about that. And so this is when I really started to lean into myself and my own ideas. And so this is when I really leaned into like, if I had a friend, what card would I want to give them? And I did this in my products, in my cards, but I also really did this on social media. And this is when my social media started to grow as well.
All right. A huge thanks to Kiwi for showing up and pouring into our labs community. If you haven't already listened to Kiwi's other episodes here on Proof to Product, I highly encourage you go back and listen. She has had an incredible journey as a creative entrepreneur, growing her product-based business for more than 10 years in a truly authentic way that really made her business fit the life she wanted to lead, and then exiting in a way that felt equally as good for her. So we will include links to Kiwi's past Proof to Product episodes in the show notes. You can go back and listen there. We'll also include her business link there, yourgalkiwi.com. Now, if you found today's episode helpful, I have two favors to ask you. One, share it with your friends on social media and tag me at Proof to Product. I'm really good about resharing this stuff when I see it. So definitely tell us what your favorite thing about today's episode was and share a screenshot. The second thing is head to ratethispodcast.com/PTP for Proof to Product and leave us a 5-star rating and write a review. I absolutely love reading each and every review that comes in, and it motivates me to keep this podcast going. Your ratings and reviews also tell the podcast feeds that our show is worth sharing with others, which allows us to bring incredible guests to the show that you can learn from. So it's truly a win-win. All right, friend, I appreciate you sticking around until the end. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back next week with a new episode.